Param Drishva Nivartate. Vishaya Vinivartante. Niraharasya Dehina. Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya. Param Drishva Nivartate. Vishaya Vinivartante. Niraharasya Dehinaha. Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya. Param Drishva Nivartate. Vishayaha. Objects for sense enjoyment. Vinivartante. Are practiced to be refrained from. Niraharasya. By negative restrictions. Dehinaha. For the embodied. Rasavarjam. Giving up the taste. Rasaha. Sense enjoyment. Api. Although there is. Asya. His. Param. Far superior things. Drishtva. By experiencing. Nirvartate. He ceases from. Vishaya vinivartante. Niraharasya dehinaha. Rasa varjam rasopyasya. Param drishva nivartate. Someone else sing it now. Who's got the mic? Sing it, Vipul.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinaha.
Niraharasya dehinaha.
Rasavarjam raso apyasya.
Rasavarjam raso pyasya.
Param drishva nivartate.
Param drishva nivartate. Next.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinaha.
Niraharasya dehinaha.
Rasa varjam rasopyasya.
Rasa varjam rasopyasya.
Param drishva nivartante.
Param drishva nivartate. Hari Bol.
Vishaya.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehina.
Niraharasya dehina.
Rasavarjam rasopasya.
Rasavarjam rasopasya.
Param drashtva nirvartate.
Param drishva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinam.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartante.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinam.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartante.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehina.
Niraharasya dehina.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Nirahasasya dehinah.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Param drishtva nivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopyasa.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtanatate.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Niraharasya dehinah.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishtva nivartate.
Param drishtva nivartate. Vishaya
vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinah.
निराहारस्य देहिनः
रसवर्जं
रसोपस्य
परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते
परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते. Vishaya vinivartante, niraharasya tehinaha, rasa varjam rasopyasya, param drishva nivartate.
Vishaya vinivartante Niraharasya dehinah
Rasavarjam rasopyasya
Param drishva nivartate
Vishaya vinivartante Niraharasya dehinah Rasavarjam rasopyasya Param drishva nivartate
Vishayah. Objects for sense enjoyment. Like what? What are some objects for sense enjoyment? Money? Food? What kind of food? Huh? Depends what species of life you're in. What kind of food? Any kind of food, I guess. You're saying if it's prashadam, it's okay? Yeah? What other kind of sense objects are there? Things we see, right? Hearing. So Prahlad Maharaj says, generally the ears are attracted to cinema songs. Everyone wants to hear some beat, some song about sense gratification, right? The eyes want to see what? A movie or an accident on the freeway. That's why everyone slows down. What was that? They want to see that. And sense of touch, some soft, pleasing thing, some breeze, some sense of touch, tactile sense. What other senses do we have? Smelling. Want to smell sweet things. So all these senses have their objects that they're attracted to, right? And it's natural. Without any kind of training, then naturally the senses just go to their objects, isn't it? And according to the mode of one's nature, then according to the nature one has acquired, the mode of nature one has acquired, goodness, passion, ignorance, one will be attracted to certain kinds of sense objects, isn't it? So somebody in the mode of goodness, they may be attracted to something that what they're attracted to that they think smells good. Someone in the mode of ignorance thinks it smells really bad. And for somebody in the mode of goodness, what somebody in the mode of ignorance thinks smells good, the person affected by goodness thinks that smells bad. But the point is, the senses have their objects that they're attracted to. Vinivartante. Are practiced to be restrained from. Niraharasya. By negative restrictions. So there's some kind of practice to restrain oneself from the sense objects by negative restrictions. What are examples of this? Any experience you've had of restraining your senses from the objects by negative restriction? What does it mean?
Fasting.
Huh?
Fasting.
Okay, fasting? Just don't eat? Huh?
Tapasya
of what kind? Be more specific. Of how you've restrained your senses from some kind of sense object. Like one example. Speech? You restrain your sense of speech, maybe? Or like eating somebody, maybe somebody's on a diet. And by negative restriction, I'll only eat this. There's lots of diet plans in the world. Just Google diet and you'll find more hits, I think, than any other thing on the internet. Everyone wants to be on a diet. So there's all kinds of diet. Most of them are by negative restrictions. Some of them claim you can eat as much as you want, but I don't think they really work. There's negative ways of restraining the senses. But what happens generally from somebody? Well, let's take diets for example. Ever heard of yo-yo dieting? You know what yo-yo dieting means? You know what a yo-yo is? Grew up in America, you know what a yo-yo is. It's a little cylindrical thing, and it's on a string, and you throw it down like that, and it spins, and then it goes down to the bottom, and then it jumps right back up on the string. You throw it down, comes back up. There used to be yo-yo championships when I was a kid. So yo-yos, yo-yo means goes up and down, up and down. So there's this yo-yo dieting. So people, they take to a diet, and then they lose a bunch of weight by negative restriction, and then you see him 2 years later and, oh, hi, what happened? You found that weight again. It comes back again because the senses, they have their own whims. And at one time you may restrict by negative restriction and restraint, and then it comes back at a later time, right? So the senses, even of great sages like Vishvamrita, how long did he restrain his senses for? 10,000 years. And what distracted his attention? Manika. And what sense was it that did him in?
Hearing.
He heard what? Some ankle bells. Just that ankle bell he heard of Manika. And his mind became disturbed. It broke his samadhi. He came out of it. Why? Because he was restraining his senses through this negative restriction. And therefore, just like yo-yo dieting, you hold back and then you get some progress, then it comes back again. This is the problem. So this is what's being described here. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. So, dehina means for the embodied. Rasavarjam, giving up the taste. 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 It's hard to give up a taste, isn't it? If you have a taste for one thing, a certain thing that you have a taste for, it comes back, doesn't it? Or it can actually haunt you. Aren't there all kinds of programs for people to try to give up a taste for certain kinds of things? Like what? AA? You said AA? AA means? That's anonymous, okay. So Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a program, a step-by-step program, so people have a taste for alcohol. It's a kind of a taste. If you drink alcohol, and then there's a certain kind of taste that you get from it, and you become addicted to it. You can't stop, so you go to a program to gradually get free from that taste, right? Rasavarjam, giving up the taste. So all of our senses have a taste for a certain object. They're conditioned like that. So rasavarja means giving up a taste. Raso, sense of enjoyment. So this is what everyone's looking for, we would argue here. That this is why everyone's doing what they're doing, is they're trying to get a sense of enjoyment. Can you argue against that? That if I'm if I'm working hard to make money, why am I doing that? What are some reasons I'm trying to get money?
One of them is sense gratification.
Well, sense gratification, okay. If support the family, and what does that mean if I'm supporting the family?
I'd be happy, and that will give me sense of enjoyment.
It will?
It will bring me happiness.
It will bring you happiness. It's your family. It will bring you happiness. Why was Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? He was saying why he didn't want to kill his family members in the battle. Because who would he show the, if he won the kingdom afterwards, who would he show it to? When you get something, what do? You go show it off. Look, Mom, Dad, see, I'm successful. Always knew I'd amount to something, didn't you? So everyone wants to show something off or share it. It's for some kind of sense enjoyment. This is the idea. So that pervades the dehina, the conditioned soul, is addicted to certain kinds of taste. It's natural. Purusha prakriti istohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan kanunam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Means that we acquire these tastes by our association with three various modes of nature, which are goodness, passion, ignorance. And by our sangha with those three kinds of modes, we acquire a certain nature. And in that nature, we have a taste for certain kinds of sense objects. And life after life, shariram yaravapnoti yachchap yukramatishvara grihit vaitani samyati vayur gandami vashayat. Krishna says that just like a breeze, it goes over a filthy place, and then downwind, you smell garbage. If it goes over a rose garden, same breeze, smells sweet. So similarly, how we associate with the modes of material nature, we pick up a kind of taste. And then, shotru chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam grahanam eva cha adishtayam manaschayam. Krishna says that next body we get custom made with a certain kind of ear, eye, nose, sense of touch, all grouped about the mind, and it's specifically to enjoy that kind of taste that we've acquired from our association with three modes of material nature. So we have this rasa. We're trying to get taste. So this is the idea. Our whole pursuit in life is to get some kind of a taste. And the material taste is also called chapala sukha. What does that mean? Sukh means happiness. What if we offer you some chapala sukh? Would you like that? First, would you like some sukh? You want some sukh or you want some duk? Which do you choose? Over here, sukh or duk? Which one do you like? Sukh? Everyone wants the sukh. No one wants the duk. So you want happiness, but how about if we offer it to you, but it's chapala sukh? Sure, we'll give you happiness, but we're just going to add one little condition to it. It's chapala. What does that mean? Flickering. Temporary flickering, it's moving, you can't keep it, it moves around, it's tainted, isn't it? So the rasa, the taste I get in material life from the sense enjoyment, it's called chapala sukha. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonai evate adyantavanta kunteya na teshu ramate buddha. Here's wisdom. Krishna says, a wise person who's Buddha, someone who's very wise, doesn't take pleasure in chapala sukha. Because adyantavanta, its characteristic is that it has a beginning and an end. So he doesn't like it. He wants the kind of pleasure that doesn't stop. So we give you the choice. Sukh duk, you took sukh. So then you can have chapala sukh, or you can have sukh that's eternal. Which one do you want? One with the end or one with no end? With no end. So that's what we really want. So this means orienting ourselves to our real self-interest. Yehi samsparjaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. It means in ignorance, which is the problem. I'm ignorant. Therefore, if I endeavor for happiness from the senses that just comes about by contact with the sense objects, which I'm addicted to, which I have a taste for because of my conditioning by the three modes of material nature, then Krishna says something very profound. Here's a metaphor we can take home. He says, dukkha yonaya evate. What is that it's the womb from which is born dukkha. In other words, I want happiness, I want sukh, but if I try to get it by going along with my senses and taking that kind of pleasure which I'm addicted to because of my previous association with the three modes of material nature, then what's born? I get a little baby out of that. And what's his name? Come on, Dookie. Here, little Dookie. What does Dookie do to me? He makes my life miserable. That's his job. Little Dookie. So Krishna says, Dukkha Yonaya Evate. From the womb of this sense enjoyment comes Dookie, this miserable little baby who ruins my whole life. So this is a warning. So those who are intelligent, Buddha, they don't take pleasure in this. They avoid the wombs of misery from which dukkha is born. So, rasavarjam rasopyasya. How to find the real happiness, the eternal happiness. So there's a clue here in this verse. Krishna's now saying, rasavarjam rasopyasya. There's a way in which you, rasavarjam, you give up that rasa that you have from the senses and their sense objects. But how do you do it? By restraint? There's only one way. Hansapriya is telling us. What is it? You get a higher taste. Param. Param means supreme. It's something better. It's beyond what I had now. And as soon as I see it, what do I do to the lower taste? As soon as you see a higher taste, rasavarjam, you just drop it. It's not a matter of restraint. It is not an intellectual exercise. It's a matter of our nature. Because as soon as I have a higher taste, as soon as I perceive that there's a better thing to be had, then I'll immediately drop. Like if someone offers you tomorrow twice the money for the job you're doing now. Anybody here working? If you're working, you're in a job. You like your job? Okay, what if someone tomorrow, you like your job, you feel pretty happy. What if someone tomorrow offers you twice the money and half the hours? What do you do now? Nah, I'll just stay in the job I'm in, right? You go home, discuss it with your wife. You know, I got this offer today. You'll go for the job. You'll take it. It's not a matter of you know, too much calculation. You'll go for the higher thing. Param drishva navartate. As soon as you're offered a higher taste, then you give up the lower one. So we come back to Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted something very badly. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father's kingdom. And he was praying to God for this. And then when he saw Krishna, he perceived those desires to be abominable. He despised them. He lamented for the fact that he desired them in the first place. They became so insignificant and actually repulsive to him because of the fact that he had desired something other than Krishna. And he said they were like glass broken on the ground compared to valuable gem. So this is Param Drishva Navartate. When we naturally experience something better, then automatically we give up the lower thing. So there is no question of sense restraint and attaining perfection through that process. One must attain a higher taste, Param Drishva Navartate. And let's talk for just a second about what this means, Param Drishva Navartate. What does this word Drishva mean? What does it mean? By experience. So what, can you say more about that? Experiencing a higher taste? Nilesh? Use the microphone. This is going to be profound.
Yeah, as you said, one needs to have a taste, and as long as one stays on, and like in the sense, if one has a higher taste, then only he can leave the lower taste. So only by experiencing the higher taste, one can leave the lower taste. And in order to achieve the higher taste, one has to be really cautious. First of all, he has to have information about it, and then he can go for it. It is very common in the material world also, that someone says, okay, Las Vegas is good, so but you got the information, that's why you go there, and then you experience something. So similarly, in spiritual life also, once you have information about it, then you can experience it by doing something about it.
So I did not give false advertising. I said this would be profound, what we heard, and it was. Thank you very much. This means that by we can experience something, we can experience a higher taste beginning by hearing about it. This is something in the Shastra called Purvarag. Rag means some kind of attachment, and before we're actually in the position of fully tasting it, we're preparing for it and experiencing it by hearing about it. Just like sometimes people have not met a movie star, but they have the picture and they've heard all about, they subscribe to the fan club. They become a member of the fan club. They hear all about the movie star, and they're thinking about, and then they develop an attachment, right, by hearing. Or as Nilesh Prabhu gave the example about Las Vegas, that's why people advertise. You hear something about it, and then an attraction develops. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinvatam Swa Kata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyan Taksto Hibhadrani, Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Statement is given that by hearing about Krishna in his pastimes, one can develop a higher taste and a desire to be with Krishna, to hear about Krishna. Has this ever happened before that you know of? That somebody heard about Krishna and they developed love for him just by hearing about him before they even met him? Who? Rukmini. Who said that? Thank you very much, Hansapriya. Rukmini had heard about Krishna, and therefore she desired to marry Krishna, and she would accept no other. Right? She didn't want a personality whose body was a bag filled with all kinds of obnoxious substances, as she put it. Mustache hairs and all this. She wanted Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha, who has a transcendental body. Who else heard about Krishna and then became attached? Who? Oh, Mirabai, by hearing. And we have example of the wives of the Brahmins who are performing sacrifice. By hearing about Krishna from the local devotees who are selling goods in the market, they developed an extreme attachment for Krishna, so much so that when the cowherd boys came and said, Krishna and the cowherd boys are in the forest, they're hungry, they dropped everything immediately and they went to Krishna. So by hearing about Krishna, one can develop a higher taste, because hearing about Krishna and being with Krishna are non-different. By chanting Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we associate with Krishna directly. So the lesson is that we must develop a higher taste in order to give up the lower taste. And therefore, param drishvar nivartate means we must experience it for ourselves. We have to actually see it. We have to actually experience if it remains on a theoretical level. In other words, I may read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and in a theoretical way accept some things. But unless I experience it for myself, a higher taste from these things, then will I be able to give up the lower taste? No, so we have to develop a higher taste. And this is the process of devotional service. Now, Nilesh said that just by getting information, by hearing, then one can develop. But are there cases when someone didn't have information about Krishna, but immediately it received a higher taste? You want to say more about that, Gajendra?
Like he was in the distress position, the crocodile has caught his leg, and he struggled to the best of his capability. But at last he understood that to take shelter of his Supreme Lord, which he remembered from previous birth.
So spontaneously he began singing prayers that he remembered from his previous life. So it was a carryover. This is another point. Devotional service is never lost. There's no loss or diminution. So if one practices some devotional service, it will come to bear at some point. What about the four Kumaras? When they went to Vaikuntha, they experienced a higher taste. How? Let's ask Dharmesh Prabhu, since he just came back from India. Hari Bol.
They hadn't experienced the Lord up to that point, but when they smelled the fragrance of the tulsi leaves that were offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, it changed their minds, and it caused, you know, spontaneous bhakti to overflow in their hearts.
Thank you very much. You. So, by smelling the lotus feet of the Lord, the tulsi leaves that were there, that Vaikuntha breeze, then their hearts were changed. And they came up, they experienced a higher taste from being jnanis, then they became bhaktas, unalloyed bhaktas. So by coming in contact with Krishna, through smelling, through hearing, through seeing, one can experience a higher taste. That's why we have temples all over the world also. Why do we take the trouble to have an international society for Krishna consciousness and have centers? So when people come from everywhere, they can walk in the temple and they can experience a higher taste. They're smelling the incense, by seeing the flowers, by seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, his smiling face, one becomes imperceptibly liberated immediately just by coming in that environment, and one feels happiness within one's heart. So this is the formula given, param jishvarnivartate, one must attain a higher taste. And there are degrees of advancement in devotional service. So beginning with the faith that we have and then taking up the practice of devotional service, step by step, gradually, we'll attain more taste. And the very purpose of the human form of life is to increase our ruchi, to increase the taste for Krishna. And this is done most efficiently in the association of others who have taste, and by applying the principles of bhakti yoga. By doing that, one will certainly have success in developing a higher taste. And the devotees are the greatest of all tyagis, and they're able to give up things that other people cannot give up because they have a higher taste. Chakva turna mashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchavat. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan are a great example. They gave up the greatest opulence of the world, wealth, fame. They were very highly respected scholars. But after associating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became so attracted that they easily gave those things up. And they became mendicants. They gave up all their wealth, they gave it away, and they put on loincloths, and they dedicated their lives simply to practicing Krishna consciousness. This is how powerful the path of bhakti is. So in this story that we began today from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a question by Parikshit Maharaj. After he had heard about the hellish conditions in the material world, extreme hellish conditions which exist in the lower planets, what section of the universe are we in? Middle. We're right in the middle. So in the middle, we get a combination of hellish and some heavenly. A little mix. We can see both. But there are more hellish conditions of life that were described by Shukadeva Goswami. Those are adverse reactions to sinful activities that people perform in the human form of life. And then they're punished because of that in their next life. And he Kriyakshit Maharaj being a compassionate Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He suffers because of the suffering of others. Therefore, he asked his spiritual master, how can people get free from that kind of suffering, from hellish conditions of life? And his spiritual master first told him that by performing prayaschitta, or atonement, they would become free. And Pariksit Maharaj didn't buy it. He said, Guru Maharaj, that doesn't sound like a viable way to get free, because it's like the bathing of an elephant. People who perform prayaschitta, they do it, they say they're sorry, they do some atonement, and they go out and do it again because the desire is still within the heart. And then his spiritual master tested him again and told him by gyanmarg, by cultivation of knowledge and detachment from the world, one could attain this position. And again, Pariksit Maharaj rejected it. And finally, Shukadeva Goswami said, Kechit Kevalaya Bhakta Vasudeva Parayana Agham Dunvanti Karsnena Niraha Iva Bhaskara. That by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, by taking the process of direct devotional service, then all of one's sinful activities would become burned off, just like the fog is burned away when the sun rises. So the process of pure devotional service is the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam and of the Bhagavad Gita, and it's called the Raja Vidya. Raja Vidya Raja Kuyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Tarmyam Susukam Kartamavyam. And Krishna says that this is the king of all knowledge, this knowledge of reviving one's relationship with the Lord. And it's very natural, very simple. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasti Yuktvaiva Matmana Matparayanaha. One should remember Krishna. Just by thinking about Krishna, all of one's sinful reactions become diminished and burned up. And by bowing one's head before Krishna, one feels oneself satisfied in one's constitutional position. And by becoming a devotee of Krishna, one becomes completely immersed in one's spiritual nature. So this is the Raja Vidya. It's secret because although it's broadcast everywhere, very few people can see it and understand it without the association of devotees. Pavitram idam uttamam, and it's extremely purifying if one takes to the process of direct devotional service. It's directly perceived, and this is very important. According to this verse, param drishva nivartate, you must experience this higher taste. So by direct devotional service, especially the chanting, the repeating of God's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna says, pratyaksha, you'll directly experience it for yourself. Sukham, it's happy, and it's avyayam. It means that it's eternal. The process goes on. The ends and the means are the same. So the conclusion is that one should engage in direct devotional service to the Lord, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And this can be performed in any stage of life and integrated into anyone's lifestyle. And one will be successful without doubt. In fact, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kavi Yogendra says that if one runs with one's eyes closed on the path of bhakti, one will not trip and fall. It is so powerful. Why? Because it is the direct method of worshiping Krishna. And it's completely relying on the help of Krishna, whereas other processes rely on my own strength. I'm taking Krishna's special mercy and kindness. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. So now we're going to have a kirtan, an artik ceremony. So let's all put away the books and the book stands as quickly and efficiently as possible. And then we'll go on with our hearing and chanting marathon, which will continue from here, and then into our cars, then back to our homes, and then early in the morning tomorrow we'll begin again. And like this, we'll go on running out the clock here in this material world until we reach that point of leaving the body and going back home, back to Godhead. Gopremanande Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Vishaya mini martante nirahara stidehinaha.